What's up, y'all? You know, every time that song comes out, I'm like, what? Anyway, thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And you know, I go around this amazing planet of ours finding the best humans I can find to come on here and grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today I found this really cool chick, y'all. All right, she is redefining balance with a twist. She's the voice that ignites change and empowers you to live fiercely and unapologetically. All right. And with us today, we have Nikita. I want to introduce her to you. She is magnetic. She is the host of the Balance Boldly podcast and the Lazy Overachiever show. That is really cool. Nikita doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She is intentional and she has a best-selling author of Selfish, Permission to Pause, Live, Love, and Laugh Your Way to Joy. I mean, come on, that is such a good title. Hello. Her work isn't just a career, but it's a calling, okay? And as a higher sought after transformational empowerment speaker and a CEO of Think Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, woo, this girl got a resume, all right? She stands at the forefront of revolution, and I am so glad she is here. Thank you for joining us here at Straight Talk, Nikita. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you?
I am so magical, and I feel like I am floating after that introduction. People usually ask me to go with them to MC them when they come in, but I have to say, I really need you on a roll with me, Nina, like for real. Let's do it.
You know what? I really love what you stand for, all that you're about. I mean, you know, we spoke very briefly a couple of weeks ago, and I just like, oh, I really like her. Like, I really like her. So I'm glad you're here. And one of the biggest things I love about my audience is that they are really like engaged. I get a lot of emails and texts and all that kind of great stuff. And I like them to know who you are. So my very first question, always off the bat, is who are you? Who are you, Nikita? Let us know who you are.
That's such a good question. I could give you the CV, portfolio, long resume version, or I can tell you who I believe I am in a word.
Let's do it.
Which is awesome. So awesome is really an acronym that I believe I was downloaded to me probably almost, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago. A few years before I started my company with my husband in 2011, because I was too afraid to get started back then. So I waited on it a little bit, but I heard in my spirit, awesome meant amazing woman encouraging someone other than myself to elevate. That defines me. That is literally who I am.
That's a good download.
Thank you.
I really love that. I really love that. You know, it's one thing too, to have that acronym. It's another thing to live to it, right? Yes. So tell me about that journey, because you just said, you know, I waited a little bit to act on it, or I was a little bit afraid. So to talk to me about that. What were you doing before you started to get into that awesomeness?
Yeah, so I was doing a version of what I do now, but in a more limited way. So foundationally, I'm a licensed clinical social worker. And so how I showed up was a psychotherapist, a trauma specialist, a relationship expert, eventually added sexology and some other isms and ist at the end of it, lots of certification degrees, all those things. And I was doing that work. But if you're, for those of you listening, familiar with license, especially board license clinicians, you're licensed for the state that you're in. That is where you are limited in working. And you also are limited in how you work based on whatever system or organization you're in. And I was in the system of healthcare. I was doing a lot of medical clinical social work. I was doing a lot of crisis work. So all of that kind of held me to working with people in a very specific way, that my insurance covered me, that those organizations were okay with you working that way with families. Don't you dare help them in any other way. Right. Even if you really could help, you technically weren't licensed to do it, or their insurance at that organization didn't cover you. So I really felt limited. In addition to the 80 plus hour weeks and having to work multiple jobs to have a normal income for what my family deserved to have, because as a clinician, you're not typically paid well either.
Right.
Similar to teachers, right? All of those things were really starting to make me feel like I was out of alignment. And I didn't understand, because I knew that I was walking in my gift from the perspective of serving people. I was a steward, mm-hmm, a servant leader. I'm able to walk as an empath in a very formidable way as a clinician and a trauma specialist. But things weren't adding up. The math wasn't mathing. I'm coming home exhausted. I don't feel completely engaged with my family. I'm sitting there like, yes, I'm doing all the things, all the parties on the weekend, all the sleepovers, all the soccer and dance. Like, I'm doing all the things that you're supposed to do as a 21st century parent, as a 21st century wife, but I didn't feel present. I felt exhausted. Mm-hmm. I felt disconnected. I felt overwhelmed. I felt underappreciated. Like, all the overs and unders that you can have as a woman wearing so many hats. Right. And it wasn't the fact that I was doing so many things. It was the fact that some of those things were out of alignment in what I was doing and in the way that I was giving. I was giving until I literally went emotionally broke. And that wasn't okay on so many levels, because it's hypocritical. You're serving people and helping them balance and get their relationships together and get their life together and stop being a hot mess, but you're feeling all of that on the inside. So that really wasn't what I needed to be. I wanted to be a complement of who I really am inside and not wear a mask all the time to pretend or as if I'm more than what I am at that moment. So I literally prayed. I asked God, all right, you gave me lots of skills. I'm really smart. I'm brilliant, all the things, but I'm feeling like a blacksmith in a wood shop. I have all the access to all these tools. I know how to use them, but I'm too exhausted to use them for me. Something isn't right. What do you want from me? And I literally was just asking, like, what do you want from me? I should have said, how do I do it? That was something I would reflect on later. I didn't ask the right question. So I got a serious download of what, and I saw the institution. I saw this big, magnanimous thing that was there. That was all layers. It looked like a huge, huge building. And I knew it wasn't a concrete vision, like it was supposed to be a big hotel vision. It was showing me the layers in which I would grow through, the way that I would support and serve in the world. And I saw certifications. I saw courses. I saw small, intimate groups of people just as much as I saw larger audiences, kind of like lecture hall style. Like, I saw all these different things that my son at the time was much younger. He's 27 now. But when I described it to the family, he said, it sounds like a tree. Like, it sounds like, you know, the tree that you're sprouting, that you're growing, and maybe that should be your logo. And I was like, oh, lots of financial institutions use trees. So maybe I won't use that because I'm not driven by money. So that was another layer that I needed to tie in. So I sat with it. I talked to my husband. He was 100% on board. And I was scared to death to go from being an on the ground, like grassroots supported soul, you know, I'm doing the work, knocking on doors, like I'm doing the things on the ground, to creating something that felt so much bigger than me. I really had a moment of, who do you think you are? Like, what do you think you're doing? How do you think you're going to do this? And like most really ambitious and brilliant people, we jump out ahead of the spiritual part that kind of got us there and get into the numbers. So my nerd hat popped up. I went down the research rabbit hole. I, you know, connected with, you know, Wharton and all the different people that you're supposed to, consultants and researchers and all it, and created a 68 page, beautiful business plan, pie charts and all. It was amazing. It also was in the wrong direction, Nina. It really, really was. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal business plan.
Yes.
That started with what made sense logically, but it wasn't necessarily what was connected to my heart. So what made sense was our mission to build stronger families that would create these new multi-generational imprints from their own self-actualized wholeness. Mm-hmm. That made sense. That was my mission. That's where I was driven. How I did it in the beginning was like, girl, what are you doing? Right. And I started it with two divisions, which is way too much when you are self-funded. I won't say bootstrap, but self-funded, and everything's coming out of your pocket. It was a staffing agency and a professional development division. And in my mind, it made sense. It's still a really, really good idea, but it wasn't for me, because staffing is very financial driven. You have to be focused on the numbers. And I was always focused on the people and wanting to support and serve. So it took me a little minute. I had to hire coaches and advisors and mentors and all the things that we have to do to invest in ourselves. I had to get out of my way with that dangerous sentence of I already know, right? Like I had to back up out of my ego. Mm-hmm. I had to do a lot of self-work that was beyond the therapy that I already did as a child of so many different traumas and abuses and various things that I went through growing up. I already did that work. I didn't realize how it was impacting me on the professional front because the way that I was supported was to help me survive and have a different mindset of not being a victim, but it didn't necessarily give me concrete tools and strategies for, okay, well, how does this work when I'm trying to set boundaries with a new partner or a new partnership? How do I not have issues trying to fix and save everyone when some people were meant to be, as a bishop of mine would say, 5-minute people? Y'all keep trying to make hour long conversations. And I was trying to keep them for months, right? Like people that you should have let go when they were there for a specific season. But my attachment style issues and my challenges there growing up were bleeding over, and I didn't understand the connection. So I really became a product of the product. I did my work selfishly. I took me under my wing and I hired the right people and coordinated. And I talked to my husband and made sure we were on board with these new changes and challenges and this new stretch that I was having to demand on myself and step into, because I knew that it was going to shake up the ground underneath of me, shake up what we known as friends, as family, as the person that you thought you remembered from high school. Like I knew all of those things were going to shift and I had to be willing to deal with those changes and challenges, but so would the people that were closest to me that I really wanted to keep in my life and I wanted to grow with and not feel like we were growing apart. Although some of those things did happen, but it was really important for me to at least communicate and try it. And I needed support around it. So to answer your question, I did the work and realize how amazing it was to take the tools that I'm so skilled at for years, over 2.5 decades of serving other people, and actually use them for me, but not have to guide myself, be able to have people have my back and guide me and, you know, like the art on the canvas, point out my gaps and flaws that I can't see because I'm the art on the canvas. So I did all of that and decided I wanted to use those tools, my metaphysical gifts, my intuition, my spirit. I wanted to use all of the things because I'm still a clinician. I'm still licensed. I don't serve that way because I'm not state bound. I have a global audience of clients that I serve. Right. And I do that as a balance and relationship advisor using whatever tool is most appropriate for the outcome. So that's how I got
Here. That's such a beautiful, important journey too. And I think that's one that we all go through, right? I'm in that journey myself, right? And I think it's one of those battles too of learning how to get out of the employee mentality into that CEO mentality, which is a completely different thing. And, you know, I was talking to my group, my women, about this yesterday because, you know, it's just you getting off the hamster wheel. And you feel lost. Right? Because you're so used to the hamster wheel. Like you said, you were running all the time. Yes, you were doing all the things, but you were on this wheel. And then all of a sudden you decided, now I'm getting off the wheel and I'm going to invent my own wheel. But that transition piece is super hard. I know I have a lot of female and male entrepreneurs that are listening to the show right now. And I want to encourage you, because the truth is, everything is for your benefit. So even if you're going through something right now, like Nikita said that she, you know, went through this transition of thinking that it was supposed to be this style and that style, and writing an entire, you know, entire business plan, which I've done too. That's why I started laughing. And it's like, that's your plan. And then God got a plan. That's how I see it. Right.
That part.
And never the two shall meet sometimes. It's so funny. But the thing is I want, you know, all of these CEOs and entrepreneurs and stuff that are listening to the show to not be discouraged. You are going to go through this journey of this up and down and front and back and broke and not broke and have money and don't have and download, not download, wrong turn. Like, this is life. And it's so exciting. It is so exciting. And, you know, like the women that I have in my group, like one of them was saying, well, I left my job and I'm in a really, you know, she's in a scarce place. Yeah. And I said, that is so awesome. She's like, excuse me? I said, do you know how awesome it is to be in this scared and scarce place?
Yeah.
That means that you can now look at opportunity. You can look at vision. Mm-hmm. You can look at direction. You can look at, and she's like, oh my God, I didn't think about it that way. Because your boss, you're so used to your boss telling you what to do, how to do it. Mm-hmm. But now you are in this place like, oh no, I'm scared. Good.
Yes.
Good. It's healthy. It's a healthy thing. Exactly. So what was that for you? Like, when did you finally say, I got to hire the right people? Like, I guess what I want the people who are listening to understand is you are going to hire the wrong people. I've done it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's done it. You've spent thousands of dollars on the wrong people. I feel like that's still the right people. And the reason I say that is because those lessons are invaluable, right? So I feel like I paid for the lesson, right?
Yeah, so you did.
yeah, you did. You paid for the lesson. Mm-hmm. You learn very quickly who to trust, who not to trust, who to have there, who not to have there. So tell me a little bit about that journey for you. So when you were hiring people, I guess what I want the people to hear from you is what didn't work, right? And then how did you pivot to try to find the right people? Like what knowledge came of that?
There was a lot of pivots. So let me be very honest. It's been May coming up will be 13 years old in business. So we've had quite a few. Thank you. We've had quite a few learning which teacher is also doing their own training versus what teacher is doing all the talk because, you know, they weren't able to walk the walk. You know what I mean? Like a lot of that got filtered out. Absolutely. So I think in the beginning, when I hit that space of desperation, which is where you don't want to be, you want to be scared, but you don't want to be desperate because then you start doing desperate things.
Yeah.
When I hit that place of desperation, I think there was like a aura or vibe of prey, P-R-E-Y, that was around me. And all the pariahs were like, ooh, fresh meat. Oh, you come from systems. You come from organizations. You're not really like a born natural entrepreneur. Like you don't know about this life. Oh, so let me pull you in and pretend to be your entrepreneurial colleague, friend, you know, referral buddy, you know, all the things
and all the things,
all the things. And all they wanted was to get into my pocket, which isn't always your direct cash pocket. It's also your network. And your network is very valuable, especially if you are someone like me who values relationships when we talk about business above everything. Relationships will always fund you in some kind of way because they will connect you. They will resource you. They will support you. They will give you the 30 minutes of like, let me give you some soundboarding time that maybe you don't have the money to pay for in that hour. Right. And then when you do, you can pay them back in referrals as well as cash and all the things. And my network is and was very valuable. And I didn't understand it at the, you know, at that time, because again, being a therapist, I don't have to go seek anything. People call their insurance. They see me listed.
Right, they
come in the door or they know the organization that I'm working with and they come that way. The organization does whatever marketing and advertising and all the things. I just have to be available and be ready in my gift, in my skill set, prepared. When you become an entrepreneur, I mean, do I need to say CEO stands for Chief Everything Officer? Like you really are doing...
Yes.
Every role, including cleaning the toilets, if you have a brick and mortar, like you're doing all the things. And I just did not know. Like physically, I was prepared to do so many of the things because I've been working since I was 12, 3, 4, and 5 jobs almost nonstop. When I became an entrepreneur, I put all of my focus in it. I was in the middle of my first doctorate degree. I did all my classes, had started my dissertation, and I even put that on hold so I could give it my full focus at that time. I was not prepared. I had no idea how many people would use my loving, giving, kind spirit try to manipulate me. And so the first because it wasn't one person. The first suite of people that I attracted were attracted to this naive desperation that I had. Yeah. And I wasn't just desperate to make money. I was desperate to make it work. Yeah. I didn't want to fail. And I didn't understand the power of failure at that time because I'm an ambitious person. My addiction wasn't drugs and alcohol and sex and all the things. My addiction was stress. So I was used to being in these really high stressful situations, which really made me a good trauma specialist. Like, honestly, I could deal with the crisis and not react to it with my ego or my physical self because I had such a high capacity for it, which has its pluses, but also had its minuses because there was a lot of stuff coming in, including people who were not knowledgeable and skilled, but had gift of gab, right? Like they could, they could talk that talk and you'd be like, oh, you just sold me my own pretzel right back to me in my hand. And really,
that is fat right there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The gift of gab, it's something amazing when you use it for good, not for not good. But I fell into not listening to my spirit. I just jumped ahead of it. I jumped ahead of the guttural feeling that was there. I had it. And I'm like, no, you're just being a scaredy cat. You just never did this before. So I was doubting myself constantly. Even though my discernment was like, red flag over here, don't go that way. So I definitely hired my very first coach. I just did what I thought she was doing wasn't what she was doing. Like I thought she was doing media and marketing, but she was really doing mindset, which was absolutely what I needed. But I also paid for marketing, but I got mindset. And that wasn't in alignment for me at that time. And so that was a little bit of a challenge, but she's amazing and dope and good in her own way. She was also growing. But what I needed was not someone who was a baby step ahead of me. I needed someone who had made some leaps ahead of me. And she talked the talk of a leaper, but she really was just baby steps. And that showed up really quickly because, again, I'm super ambitious. I'm extremely brilliant. So you tell me to do something, I'm a perfect student. I'm going to do it. I'm going to eat it up. So you giving me something you think is going to take me a year to do, I just did it in 3 days or 3 weeks.
Right, right.
You're now your gap is showing for me. And I'm like, but wait a minute, I just paid for a year. Like, hold on, this is what we're doing? I already did it. So what else do you want me to do now?
Right.
And a lot of times when you're willing to show up and do your work, you'll see really quickly who's about it, who's really the truth and who isn't, because they honestly read a few things off of YouTube University, Google University,
AI now,
which thank God wasn't there because God, you know, they would have took my house, my car, like they would have got everything.
No, for real. That's how it is right now. It's frustrating. Yeah.
And put it together. But they were literally, they just had vocabulary and some very minor experience that I didn't have ahead of me. And because it was new information as a nerd, I'm like, oh, tell me. I'm a learner. Like I'm very high on my strengths assessment with learning. And I was like, I want to know. And it just sucked me dry of so much money. I mean, it didn't make me like lose my house or anything, but that was medical issues. But in terms of like actual business stuff, it really was people who were savvy at speaking or would speak into what I shared because they would also come and do, and I don't know, Nina, if you've had this ever happen. I have more than a handful of times where they would come and they would seem inquisitive and they would ask questions and you thought you were just having a conversation. I think I'm having tea with you, right? To get to know you as colleagues in the business. You have some insights. I have some insights, whether they're as advanced as yours or not. I'm thinking I'm sharing. But what they were really doing was interviewing and probing to pull for information that they could then see as my challenge or my issue and try to flip it into a constant sales conversation. And for me, I need a little bit more dancing. I need a little bit, you know, like dance with me. Yeah. So we can decide to
date. It's disingenuous. It's disingenuous, right? It just makes you feel ugh.
Yeah.
Like after like all this great conversation, that's where we're going.
Right. And honestly, tell me ahead of time. So that became my thing. Listen, if I'm joining you for a consult, okay. I know that I'm joining you for a consult.
Right.
But if you say, I want to have lunch with you or I want to take you to tea or
network
coffee,
or whatever.
Right. That's what I'm thinking I'm doing, not tell me all your problems, tell me your pain, tell me you just, and I get a little, you know, people have accused me of being overly private. So as soon as I realize you're interviewing me and it's not just a get to know you conversation, well, now a different version of me shows up. Right. Because now you have evoked the person that needs to be protective. You know what I mean? Like, and then I had to work on my conflict intimacy and handling that, because I was always the child that ran towards the fight and not away from it.
Right.
So that was the other thing that I had to learn how to balance. Like, okay, you know, they're not trying to, you know, take your mortgage money. They're not trying to do this. They are trying to flip it and they're not being savvy about it. So right. You don't need to beat them down, you know, with your words or anything. Like, let's work on that. So they were a gift, to your point.
Yeah.
The many, many, I call them change agents in my book, Selfish. They brought so many blessings to me by showing me how I should have listened to my discernment, how I should better prepare, how I should, you know, put some processes in place to let people date me instead of jumping into the proverbial bed by being partners and strategists and accountability sisters and brothers and all the things, like, too fast. And so there was a gift it was a slow burn. And I call myself a slow burn to this day. Like, I love tea. I love tea because it's my process. Like, you can be a fast talker and I'm following you, but it hits me a little later, like what's actually happening in the moment. And I used to think it was a bad thing, but it's not. It's just the way that I process. Because, baby, when I catch up, I am more than caught. You know what I'm saying? Like, you thought you were getting something over me. Just give me a minute. Let me let it sink in. That's it. And let's just hope you were being honest. Because if I catch something crazy.
Right.
You're going to realize it real fast.
Yeah.
So for me, that's awesome. I think it was, you know, I think it was a lot of just being honest with what I was putting out there that was attracting a lot of those pariahs.
Yeah.
At that time. And then when I built my confidence, as well as my counsel, and like having those people that not only were certified beyond a YouTube university certification or whatever, and had some actual credibility and all the things. I did a little bit more vetting for the dating process. When I did that, as well as connected to, Nina vibes with me. I feel her energy. She's not a girlfriend, because that's not who I'm looking for. When I'm looking for my coach or my advisor, I'm looking for someone who can really challenge me to my next level of greatness.
That's right.
And that's what I started to do right.
That's good. Okay, good. And now I'm taking so much away from this conversation too, because, you know, as a, you know, an entrepreneur myself and having a coaching business and building a whole academy and all that, this is a lot of work. And I've been going through this myself. I'm even like right now going through this thing. I was talking to my coach about this, where spiritually I'm not aligning with everything. And I'm like, this is off. And I said, I was talking to her last night about this, and she's like, she goes, Nina, she goes, you are a little bit disjointed. We need to work on this. I said, yeah, because I haven't even put things out on social media because I feel disjointed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and my problem is, Nikita, to just be vulnerable, is that I haven't spent that time with my God, with God that, you know, that I love to do every morning. And I had stopped doing that because I was so worried about just work. That I wasn't focused. And like this last maybe 2 weeks or so, I've been like, okay, God, you know what? Let me stop the nonsense, because you don't ever leave us. We leave you. So I need you to talk to me, speak to me like you always did, like guide me like you always have, because he in my life has been such a big part of every blessing and everything that I've been in my life, that, you know, what happens to a lot of us. And I hear that what happened to you too, right? You had to align who you were in your discernment, in your gut, in your spirit. Right. And it's funny because we can have all the degrees at the end of the day. If you don't have that spiritual connection and that guide, I don't care how many degrees you have.
That's
what I'm saying? I don't care. I mean, you might sound good, but are you aligned? Right. So love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. So I want you to tell us a little bit more about your podcast, because I know you have a podcast, and get into your book a little bit, because I don't want to wrap up without getting those things in there. So get them in there, Nikita. Get them in there.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you. So first is The Balance Boldly for Ambitious Women in Business and a Few Brave Men. That's podcast number one.
I love that.
Thank you. We call it the BBP because our listeners started to, you know, give it the little short acronym of the BBP. And that's really when I get an opportunity and privilege to interview potent humans like yourself who are willing to just share their story. And in their story are the nuggets of how you're creating what we call work, life, and love balance. So that's what the whole show is about. Obviously, when you listen, you hear the different variations of industries and entrepreneurs and executives and intrapreneurs and all of it that are just doing great things, but more importantly, are willing to be honest about their journey and their process. And I do keep them safe. I won't let anyone talk about something that they forgot. We were so in the conversation. They were like, oh, I did not mean to say that in a recording. So we're really, really careful with that. But we do have a great, great time. And then The Lazy Overachiever at the time of this recording is our brand new show that's releasing in just a few weeks. And that one is, it's a little bit more of a coming into self. So for the BBP, which is where it all started for me with the balance of work, life, and love, because I'm a balance and relationship advisor, right? Like all of it, which is still very important work. There was this other side that was coming up as I was talking to potent humans, like women founders and entrepreneurs and execs that were leaning too heavy on the overachiever and not as much in honoring their need for rest and relaxation and rejuvenation. And for me, that's a huge, important part of being awesome is because if you are fully empty, it is very hard for you to edify and exalt God and edify any other human if that's a part of your purpose walk when you don't have anything in the tank to do it. And first partaker here. And I started just like listening to like, what does that make me? Because I'm someone who's really, really good at resting. And I wasn't always. I've become that way over the last 12 years of our business. I teach micro sabbaticals, how to do it, permission to pause, breaks, like all the things. I said, you know, I think I'm kind of lazy. I'm a lazy overachiever, which is kind of how that came from. And obviously tongue in cheek on lazy, right? Like, you know,
I love that you get those downloads though. It's really cool.
Yeah. I don't take no credit for it. I promise you, like no credit at all. But that show is more string of thought, if you will. Like it's almost like listening in on a conversation with me by myself. And there's some sprinkles of interviews in between with some really dope humans as well. And then Selfish was something that was really hard for me to write. That book took me 8.5 years. I got the download about it about a month after I opened. At the time, we had a brick and mortar location of Fig Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute. And I was like, oh, I think I should, you know, probably should write a book in the next few years. I wonder what it'll be. And I prayed on it and I saw the title Selfish. And I literally had a whole meltdown. Like, what? I'm not selfish. Like I went through the whole thing. And, you know, like what it is and all of it. Funny.
Yeah.
I was just so special, but God allowed me to be, you know, on this plane and I researched it and the ideology of the word is so damaging. It got into our lexicon because it was meant to literally hold back women, that we were considered selfish if we weren't going to give whatever our husbands needed or wanted whenever they wanted it. And when I found that out, I said, oh, you thought so? Not today. Right. So I redefined it as a personal, intimate gift to create your joy your way. So now I say intentionally selfish, and I say that on purpose because I don't want you to be in your ego or to be mean or unkind. I want you to intentionally create that space for you to do your work, for you to talk to God, for you to be self-accepting, for you to self-forgive, for you to just have fun and wiggle your toes if that's what you need to refuel. So it took me a long time to write it because I had to be really honest about why I wasn't selfish and what the narratives and scripts were that I was raised with about why selfishness is bad, but also honoring the first time I was selfish. I was 15 and I left my biological mother's home. She was addicted to substance abuse, as she still is to this day. And her disease was very, very rigorous. She was selling everything, including trying to sell me for sex, for drugs. And I knew I needed to save my life. But that meant leaving my younger brother, who was 3.5 at the time, in her care because I'm 15 and can't run away with a child.
Right,
like there was nothing I could do. And that was the first selfish decision I made, but it was also the one that saved my life. So
yeah,
That was
probably one of the hardest. That sounds really hard. Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds really hard. So when you're working with clients today, are you focusing on trauma? Is that what you mainly focus on? Or what are you working with clients with today?
No. So as a, which is the fun part, I get to play a lot. So as a balance and relationship advisor, when I'm working with power couples and what I call potent humans, like we were talking about earlier, or those bold organizations, everything is really honestly around amplifying intimacy. So as we're talking about intimacy and the 12 different variations of intimacy that exist, because it's not just sex and it's not just emotional, it's so much more than that. But as we're going down the different layers that are appropriate for maybe a couple does want to talk about their sexual and emotional and communication intimacy, where an organization is talking about more conflict intimacy, work intimacy, intellectual intimacy, and maybe how to really connect emotionally with their leaders, but in an appropriate way,
right.
Where a potent human, a woman founder or an entrepreneur might really be out of touch with herself with play, which is aesthetic and recreational intimacy. So it really depends on where we are.
Beautiful.
But thank you. In that work, trauma stories do come up. So my hat gets used a lot because I'm able to see what's anchoring someone from being able to get to the place that they really want to be without breaking them in the process. Breaking open is important, but you can't be broken by someone else. Mm-hmm. It has to be them breaking open to have those micro shifts and all those epiphanies and downloads and things. So I'm able to use that. But Trump, I would say, is probably 20-ish% of the work that I do because of the things that come up naturally in people being honest and vulnerable and bold enough to share where some of those, I call them love gaps, are in their mental process, you know, in the way that they think. Sexual intimacy is probably honestly only 10%. People get really excited, like, oh, you're a sexologist too. Like, we can, but then they get really nervous, like, oh my God, we're really going to talk about sex? Like,
right. Exactly.
You're 40, right? Like, we can do that. It's totally okay. I promise.
Just talking to my friend about this, because we were talking about, you know, women and being, you know, going to menopause and what that does to us sexually and stuff like that. And I was saying to her, why don't you go see like a sexologist, like you and your husband go. She goes, what? All right. No. I'm like, girl, you're 50. What are we doing? I didn't tell you to go have sex with your sexologist. I told you to
Nina, it's those scripts. I mean, scripts. 50, 60, 70, you'd be surprised. Like, people are very inhibited instead of uninhibited. Like, they are really shy. I was just doing a speaking at a keynote engagement in North Carolina. And however it was related, because it was boardroom intimacy was the topic of the keynote. And all of our work is really from the bedroom to the boardroom, ultimately. Right. Like, that's the intimacy we're amplifying in all the most appropriate ways to whichever version we're talking to. But I said something about orgasms, and a few women were like, no one in that room was under 30. I'm just saying. I was
like, and if you have an orgasm, I feel so bad for you. But hey, Nikita, you are adorable. I wish you were like nearby so I can like hug you. But I really, really love you. I love what you're about. I love what you're putting out in the world. I love how you are just like embodying who you are, but then also sharing that with others. And I just think it's such a gift. It is such a gift.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful to God for giving you to us as a gift. So thank you for being on Straight Talk. Thank you for talking to my audience, and thank you for being just authentic and real. And I hope that all of you who are listening are just actually listening, because there's so many gems that were dropped in this episode. And also the fact that, you know, working with somebody like Nikita can be very beneficial to you and to what you are doing, not just in your corporations, but in your relationships with other people. Maybe an orgasm here and there can be discussed. I'm not sure. But you know what, Nikita? Thank you so much for coming on and dropping the gems. I'm really grateful.
I am honored, Nina. Thank you for hosting and having me.
Thank you. Guys, told you, best humans on the planet. Make sure that you go ahead and follow this amazing human being. I'm going to put all of her information below. You'll have all of her links, a way to contact her, a way to speak with her, see if she is a good fit for you, for your organization, for what you're going through, and listen to her podcast. So I'm going to make sure to link that there as well, and her book, because the woman is just killing it. Okay, she's just killing it. All right, so just go ahead, follow her, love on her, let her know you heard her on here, and go ahead and work with her, because I only introduce you to the best people, and she is definitely a gem. So thank you guys for being here. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.